Chapter number 13, Hebrews chapter 13. I want to go to verse number 17 for a text. The Bible says there, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 17. Notice the very first words of that particular verse: "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. There is a wicked spirit of lawlessness that pervades our nation today. If you look in, if you're watching the news, you see it. You may see it among the national leaders. You may see it among other people in this country as they're rising up. And they are going contrary to that which is good and right. And of course, that spirit can make a people ungovernable and can make a people to be unloosed from the moral moorings that they should be held in place by. And as a result of that, they may end up going adrift and going contrary to the will and the way of God. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 8, the Bible says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now, between the first part that I read and the last part, and that's verses 8 through 10, between the first part that I read where the Bible speaks about the fact that the law is for the lawless and disobedient, and the last part, "and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine," there's a list of wicked kinds of people that are between those two. And so you go from the one part about the disobedience and lawlessness, you go through a list of wicked people, wicked kinds of people, then you come to this which speaks about sound doctrine. Good spiritual leaders, of course, should be teaching sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, of course, is contrary to those wicked lifestyles. And if you stay in the Word of God, you listen to the Word of God, you learn from the Word of God and live by it, you'll be contrary to so many lifestyles in this world today. Now, the Bible says in the book of Judges, the last verse of the book, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." When you read through the book of Judges, you might note the chaos, the confusion, and the corruption of that day. And of course, that's what happens when people just do that which is right in their own eyes. Now, here we have some instruction in the Word of God. And I do think that this is not very popular instruction, but we do have instruction in the Word of God here in verse number 17. I want to just deal with a few things, basically drawing some points using the Scripture here, the verse here. First of all, good spiritual leaders are to be obeyed and submitted to. And I think it should be understood, this is good spiritual leaders. I realize that sometimes that we may hear about spiritual leaders that mislead people. I've looked into a little bit Charles Manson and his followers. Oh, what a wicked man he was. Basically, he had the idea he could start a race war. Murders could be committed. He could start a race war. And then when things had settled down some, that he and his followers could take over. And, of course, he ended up being behind murders, wicked murders, and yet on the other hand, he was not actually physically involved with those murders. And he had such control over people. In fact, it was during the trial time, and he was in custody, and there were three or four young women that were in custody. And yet, even in that situation, he still, as it might be said, orchestrated. And so he would tell them to do things and they would do it. And I understand that you can have wicked leaders. You can have people that mislead people contrary to the Word of God, but good spiritual leaders. I do not say perfect spiritual leaders. We only have one perfect spiritual leader, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. But good spiritual leaders are to be obeyed and to be submitted to. Go back to verse number 7. The Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Notice here in this verse, the Bible speaks about those which have the rule over you. Back in verse number 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" In the book of 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." Now, the idea that spiritual leaders are to rule, I believe, goes so contrary to this spirit of lawlessness today. There can be several things going on. First of all, there's just the natural rebellion. We all have sinful flesh that rebels against submitting to the will of God. There can be that problem. Then in addition to that, there can be that current, that spirit of our day, the wind, as it might be said, of lawlessness that blows in our land, so that people are so quickly and easily, so often carried away by that. And if a person is going to take a stand for what is right, he's going to have to fight the current, stand against the wind of this spirit of lawlessness in our day. And then thirdly, when people see or they have actually experienced being misled by a spiritual leader, then I think that can make it hard for them to follow another spiritual leader. But we simply have the Word of God that tells us that there is to be that submission to and obeying of good spiritual leaders. The Apostle Paul, he was a good spiritual leader. He was not a perfect spiritual leader, but he was a good one. 1 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." The Apostle Paul, "Wherefore I beseech you." The idea, I plead with you, be followers of me. In the book of 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I think that is a gem of a verse for spiritual leaders. I believe that the followers are to follow the leader as he follows Christ. And sometimes spiritual leaders may follow Christ for a while, then they may go their own way. But the followers are to follow the leaders as they follow Christ. Secondly, spiritual leaders watch for the souls of their followers. Notice, if you will, the Bible says in the second part of verse number 17, "For they watch for your souls," as they that must give account. They watch for your souls. It is certainly good, of course, for there to be the preaching of the gospel by the preachers and teachers of the Word of God. And through the preaching and teaching of the gospel, there can be the salvation of souls from going to hell after this life. But also, there's a need for spiritual leaders to be teaching and preaching the Word of God so that people, believers, might be spared from unnecessary soul troubles in this life. You can have so much emotional and mental anguish that you don't have to have if you do not follow the Word of God. And one of the things that spiritual leaders should be doing is helping people so that they can see more about how to live for God and avoid unnecessary mental and emotional anguish. Let me give you a few examples. Notice, if you will, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse number 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, there's a lesson from the Word of God about how to keep your soul from troubles. And a spiritual leader, for instance, might be teaching the people from the pulpit, might be teaching people individually. It might be that he hears a person say something and he realizes this is not good, and so he might say something to that individual to help that person to avoid unnecessary soul troubles. Here's another example. Proverbs chapter number 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. There's another way that an individual may avoid unnecessary soul troubles. It might be preached from the pulpit in general, but then it might be, let's say, a spiritual leader sees someone in the congregation that has become friends with and is having fellowship with someone that is an angry man, that is a furious man. For instance, he might see someone that is associating with, grown close to someone that is negative, 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 in fact, wickedly negative about government. There might be a person that's got a spirit of anarchy and lawlessness, and they may say some things that we can agree with, and yet that person may be down deep inside a bitter, angry, furious person. Well, a spiritual leader might give some advice. You may all be careful about that person and not join up with that person. Perhaps not go to those meetings. Perhaps just not go that route, because that person is an angry person and you could get a snare to your soul. Now, that's the kind of lesson that a spiritual leader may teach to help people from having unnecessary soul troubles. Let's go to another one in the book of James. James chapter number 1, verses 21 and 22. I've dealt with this recently, but verses 21 and 22. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, this is more general, but still there can be the need for a spiritual leader to teach the people, repent, to, as the Bible says here, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, repent, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. As a result of that, a person may avoid being entrapped, his soul. In fact, the Bible says in the last of the verse number 21, which is able to save your souls. My soul is saved from hell now. But that does not mean that my soul is saved from all troubles. And I may bring a lot of troubles upon myself because of the way I live. One of the things that spiritual leaders may do is try to help people to avoid some of those troubles in life. You can bring a lot of stuff upon yourself. It's been a while since I told this, but back when I was 6 years old or so, I was in the garage, little barn storage area place we had, and there was a fruit tree sprayer, a metal fruit tree sprayer up high, and this hose hanging down. And for whatever reason, I went along and I pulled on that hose. Well, the thing hit me in the head and I got cut and I was bleeding. I brought it upon myself. And who knows how many times people bring things upon themselves. They suffer when they don't have to suffer. One of the things a spiritual leader may do is try to help people to avoid unnecessary soul troubles. Then, Number three, good spiritual leaders give account of their followers. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. We'll go ahead and begin reading at the beginning. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. A good spiritual leader, I believe, is one that does give account of his people in this life. Let's take as a tremendous example Moses. Moses talked to God about the people of Israel. I talk to God about you folks. In fact, sometimes it might be that I see something that I pray against. It might be I see something I pray for. But I talk to God about you folks, and I believe everyone here would fall into that category. I talk to God about you folks. And as I'm doing my job, I may see some things in your life and see the need to talk to God about those things. I believe that's part of my job. Not only to talk to you about God, but to talk to God about you. To be praying for you. And Moses was a man that was a tremendous spiritual leader, not a perfect spiritual leader. But he was a tremendous spiritual leader that had some very hard people to lead. Some people can be hard to lead. In fact, some people can be impossible to lead spiritually. To lead some people spiritually can be like pushing a limp string. To lead some people spiritually can be like threading a needle with a boiled spaghetti noodle. To lead some people spiritually can be like trying to fly a kite when there's no wind. For some people, it's almost impossible, or it is impossible, to lead them spiritually. I had a situation, and there's been, over the years, been a number of people come and go, but years ago I had a situation, and there was people that came here for a while, then they went somewhere else, and the pastor contacted me about them. And basically I said, I hope you can be a pastor to them. It seemed like I could not be a pastor to them. They wouldn't let me be a pastor to them. At least one individual. So perhaps, I didn't know, perhaps he could be a pastor to them. And sometimes it might be that a spiritual leader tries to lead, but people won't let him lead. But the spiritual leader is to give account for the people, and I believe on a regular basis it's good for a spiritual leader to talk to God about those that are under his care. The Bible tells us about the children of Israel. They were at the verge of entering into the promised land, and because of unbelief, because of fear, they refused to go in. The Bible says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the children of Israel. They fell on their faces. What were they doing? The Bible does not come right out and tell me, but I suspect they fell on their faces and they went to praying about the situation. The Bible tells us that there were those 250 princes that rose up against Moses and Aaron. In the book of Numbers, in chapter number 16, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now, Moses and Aaron had not taken those positions of leadership of their own desires, just decided one day, I think we're going to be leaders in Israel. They were called of God. There were the 250 that rose up against them. In our day, You might have somebody that would say something like this: "Who are you? Who are you to be a spiritual leader to me? I can think. I can reason. I can see circumstances. I have a Bible like you have a Bible. I have a Holy Spirit like you have a Holy Spirit. I don't see how you think you could be a spiritual leader." In the case of Moses, I believe in that situation, they had the attitude, "Who are you? You've taken too much upon you. We're all holy unto the Lord." Well, it is a fact. All of us that are saved are children of God. It is a fact that all of us have Bibles. And we all have indwelling Holy Spirits. Or then indwelling Holy Spirit, let me put it that way. That is true. And yet, God sometimes chooses a person to be a spiritual leader in some position. And that individual, think of that individual giving an account for those that are under him. In this life, I believe that the spiritual leader should give an account. And in time to come, if you will, go to the book of Numbers. I mentioned this, but Numbers chapter number 16. Beginning with verse number 12. Numbers 16, beginning with verse 12. The Bible says, "And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth milk and honey, or giveth given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." Now they were defiant against a spiritual leader. And Moses talked to God about them, beginning with verse number 19. Beginning with verse 19. "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Then notice verse 22. "And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" There's that case that just a few verses before, you might say, Moses prayed against them. Then a little later, Moses prayed for mercy for the congregation. Now, of course, it's a very unusual situation, but the fire of God did consume the 250 that had brought censers. God did move against them. But the Lord talked to Moses about the people. Moses talked to the Lord about the people. They were having, as it might be said, a conversation about the people. A spiritual leader is to be along the way talking to God about the people in this life, but I believe as well later on. Notice in that verse, our text verse, the Bible says, "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account." They that must give account. There is an indication, I believe, or there's more than one indication in the Scriptures, that at the judgment seat of Christ, there shall be witnesses called. And, of course, you have the great example, in the Gospels. For instance, the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh being called, people that Jesus Christ lived among and did miracles among that did not repent. Well, what about those Ninevites? Jonah went to them and they repented, and a greater than Jonah was there. And I believe that they should be called as witnesses at the judgment seat. I don't know exactly how it'll be, but it may be, since the Bible speaks about spiritual leaders giving account, it may be that spiritual leaders will be called upon to testify. Let's say, for instance, I preached on a truth from the Word of God, and if there was someone in the congregation, saved person, that refused to obey the teaching of the Word of God, it might be that God will call me and say, now, you were the pastor of that church. Did you ever preach on this? And I might say, yes. In fact, there was a particular Sunday I preached on this, preached on the subject, preached on a particular verse. Maybe the Lord will say, well, did you talk to them personally? And it might be the case where I not only preached about it from the pulpit, but I talked to them personally about it. And how did they respond? Think about, what if a spiritual leader gives an account, for good or for bad? And it can be a joy, to give an account for good. It can be grief to give an account for bad. I know you may hear people talk about heaven very, very generally. Talk about heaven. And about there'll be no tears in heaven. And actually, I think what some people think of when they think of heaven, they think about the New Jerusalem. The Bible does not teach that there shall be no tears for the saints after this life. What the Bible does teach is that God shall wipe away their tears. But apparently there are tears. And I think one of the reasons for both joy and grief shall be that people shall stand before Christ and be judged. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There are going to be two fires that will separate people from the things of this life, the wicked, the tainted, sin-tainted things of this life. Number one, there's going to be the dissolving of this world and the works therein. Number two, when men stand at the judgment seat of Christ, all of those works which are not scriptural, which are not spirit-led, they shall be consumed. And there shall be that complete separation for the believer from those things. And I think a good illustration of this is that of Lot. Lot was a just man, but he vexed his soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and I believe that for the sake of money, for the sake of his cattle doing well, and perhaps it might have been that Miss Lot wanted to live in town, whatever all the reasons were, I believe he tarried where he should not have tarried. And he was spared. And yet I believe that he was forever separated from things that he had so cherished in Sodom. By fire, I believe that there's no use going back. There's no use going back looking at the old home place. What old home place? It's burnt up. I believe there's no use going back and looking for his cattle. It was over. completely separated. And I believe that many a child of God will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and it might be that they think, I think I'm going to do okay there. I think it's going to go well there. And they find out that so many of the works they thought were good works will get burned up. I believe there's going to be some tears, some sorrow, along with some joy at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, last of all, good spiritual leaders want their followers to profit spiritually. I have put such an emphasis upon, and I believe it is so important, to feed the people. In fact, I know we may talk about the glorification of Christ, the edification of saints, and the evangelizing of the sinner, and there are different aspects, different facets, as it might be said, of ministry. But as far as the local church, I believe it is so important to feed the sheep. And I want you folks to grow. And I believe that should be a desire that I should have for you, that you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as it might be said, as a church, we're growing up, we're getting better, we're able to do more for God because we are profiting spiritually. The Apostle Paul told of the fact that the Philippian church had given to him when other churches did not. In Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 17 says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I believe that's the revelation, the true revelation under the inspiration of the Spirit of God of a good spiritual leader. He wanted fruit to abound to the accounts, as it might be said, of the people that he was leading. I believe that I ought to have a desire that you grow spiritually, and that as a result of your growing spiritually, being obedient to the Lord, then at the judgment seat of Christ, there are more rewards for you. And those rewards, not to build you up in any kind of a selfish or sinful way, but those rewards so that as a result of those rewards, even more praise and glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there is a real need for good spiritual leaders in our day. There's a real need for shepherds that really do care about the sheep. And they really do feed the sheep. There's such a need. In fact, I just mentioned it this morning about, of course, there's Brother Van Gelderen, and Brother John Whalen, then Brother Gibson, Curtis Gibson, and you may hear about preachers that were standing for what's right, but then they've got trouble, maybe physical problems and so on. There's such a need for good spiritual leaders. I think that's one thing that would be good for us to be praying for. There'll be more good spiritual leaders raised up. Such a need. Let me go back to my text. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Sometimes I may preach and somebody may compliment the message. And that can be a blessing, that can be an encouragement to me. But I want to say this. Doesn't matter. You can say, "Good message, I enjoyed that." What really matters is, will you obey the Word of God that was presented? I mentioned about going to that church, that's the home church of FBN, and the preacher, he let me preach there that Wednesday evening. I mentioned different things that impressed me. You know one of the things that really impressed me there? The response at the altar. And here, this was a group of people. There wasn't a lot of young people there. A lot of these people were adults, and a lot of them, I think, up in age some, middle age or above. And yet, and I didn't get a count, I don't know, it may have been about half of those people came to the altar. And I know an altar response does not mean obedience. I mean, it may be a part of obedience. It doesn't mean necessarily the person's going to carry through and do all that they're supposed to do. But it is so important that when we hear the Word of God, we're not just a hearer, we're a doer of the Word of God. Please stand if you will.